Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in, Darren, Donick, and Chase, or is it Darren, Donick, nor Chase? Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson, Elijah Campbell here.
That makes me laugh every time. I do not. I've heard it for 4 hours now, and it's all 3 hours, and it still makes me laugh.
All credit goes to Elijah Campbell behind the glass, who came in here during the first break of the show and said, what if you called it Darren, Donick, nor Chase, because none of the three are here? And I was like, you know what, Elijah? That's brilliant. So
yeah, we should have had it go in the open. If we knew it beforehand,
we should have
going to be here
with additional planning. We could have, but we do not. But we do have Adam Kaplan, NFL expert and insider for SiriusXM, is joining us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Adam, how are we doing this afternoon?
Guys, I'm well. Hope you're doing well this fine Friday, and trying to get through June here. Hopefully in 5 weeks we have NFL training camps opening. Well, we'll see if that happens, at least on time. But, man, we need football back, folks, so there's no question about it.
Yeah, I think with everything that we've gone through as a country in the last 3 months, it would be really good to have not only football but some sports action. But let's talk NFL. For you, Adam, how confident are you that training camps are going to go off either with or without a hitch, later next month?
Well, they put their protocols the NFL has, in place, although the NFLPA needs to sign off on it. But the fact of the matter is they have a plan for it, pretty detailed. You know, I've been through the memo that the NFL sent the clubs over the last 2 weeks, and it's very strict. You know, there's no question it's going to be a change for coaches and executives when they go back to work. I've talked to coaches who've been to work already, and they say, look, it's no different than when they would go to the supermarket with their wife and they would have to wear their mask. What's going to be different for them when they go back to work is when they're at their desk and anyone comes in, you got to put your mask back on. So there's going to be some challenges here, but the real challenges are in the locker room for the players. And then when they have to go to the weight room, because you can't have the normal crowd in there, you've got a space for social distancing. And these are just the kind of issues that teams are going to have. And I thought it was kind of funny when Pete Carroll said, well, you know what? If this becomes a problem, we'll just have our meetings outside where it's safer. So we'll see if Pete Carroll does that. But this is certainly a change. There's no doubt about it. If you're someone listening who works in an office environment and you've been back to work, you know that's different. And who knows over the next year or so whether that will go back to normal. But for right now, for the foreseeable future, just to answer your question to finish that off, the league does expect by the third week of July, most teams will be back to work, but you're really not going to know until you get closer what's going to happen in terms of how many people could be in your building, when could they come in, and so forth. Now, for someone like myself who has a pretty significant training camp tour where I see about 24 to 26 teams, I don't know what I'm going to be allowed to do because the clubs themselves don't know what, in terms of media, how many people will be allowed to go to practice. Will it just be the beat reporters? How many national reporters like myself will be able to come in? We can't answer that yet, but this is my bread and butter going to training camp, so I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, not only with football, but just overall sports media coverage,
right?
As COVID is still relevant in our country. So, and we heard Dr. Fauci come out yesterday or the day before and say that football better be played in a bubble if they want to get it done in 2020. I'm just curious myself, who or what is the NFL going to be listening to with all the health related issues to feel comfortable enough to move forward with the 2020 season?
Yeah, so they're going to be talking to health officials. Dr. Sills, the NFL's doctor, the NFLPA's doctor, Dr. Thayer, they're terrific. They have extensive experience, and they will consult with other health officials. Oh, by the way, they're going to have to go by the guidelines of each state, whether you can come back fully or not. That's another thing we haven't really talked about, which I think people forgot about, is you have to be cleared by your state to be actually to be able to go back. That you know, that's something that they have to make sure, because look at California all of a sudden, that because the COVID cases have gone up. Arizona with the Cardinals, they're having a lot of issues. Back here in Philly, we're in pretty good shape. In fact, we're hoping to go to green next week or the week after. I have to give the governor credit. Our governor here, Governor Wolf, has taken a lot of heat, but in his assistance of wearing covering, going back a couple months, the COVID cases have been relatively low, and that to me is the clear hope here, is that reasonable minds will get together and understand. And the NFL has been very open on this. They're expecting to have cases, but they have protocols in place and a plan in place. But don't forget, the NFLPA has got to sign off on this. They have to agree to this when players come back, that they agree with the way the NFL is going to do this.
Adam, speaking of that, this talk about the NFL would possibly have to play in a bubble. Yesterday we kind of talked about this, and I just find it hard to believe that you can fit, like you can do an NBA style or NHL style bubble in a city that when you have a 53-man roster, coaches, position coaches, and all this going, like that has to be constructed for an NFL team. I just find it hard to believe that they can do something within a bubble.
Yeah, and you're right, because remember, you've got up to a 90-man roster, all your coaches, the executives who have to be at every practice, so that every practice is taped. They're going to want to go. Of course, we're not having the combined practices this year, which is a bummer for me, but they're going to be safe. Now, as far as a bubble, that's the last thing that they're going to want to do here. They're going to rely on their information gathering on COVID, and just I think what's a very reasonable approach. They're going to do as much spacing. The NBA is doing it, you know, obviously in the bubble in Orlando, and that's going to be interesting to see. And oh, by the way, I know some NFL teams are going to be in touch with NBA teams just to see how it's going for them. That's another part of this, which not a lot of people talk about. Are going to, believe me, it's going to get out there. The teams are consulting with each other. That's another important part of this. And Dr. Sills of the NFL is really good at what he does. I've talked to him before. I trust his judgment, and they're just going to take this step by step. And again, they've been very out in front of this. They know that they're going to have cases, but they have a plan for isolation to make sure the players are not around each other. And look, Major League Baseball today, we had the Phillies have announced and confirmed that you know, they've had a bunch of cases for guys who are working out together. And we've had Kareem Jackson, the Broncos. We get back to the NFL here. We've had other players, and some coaches have had it. And I've talked to coaches who are pretty much, there are people who really never worry about this stuff. They're actually concerned for their family about getting it. So, look, you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. And a couple NHL teams, apparently, according to Bob McKenzie of TSN up in Canada, have had some COVID outbreaks here recently, too. So, Adam Kaplan of SiriusXM here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Adam, when you look at the Tennessee Titans, I know Golic and We Go earlier this morning, we're talking about Ryan Tannehill and whether or not the Titans would regret giving him that contract, 4 years, north of $90 million guaranteed, $118 million total. Do you think, in your mind, the Titans are going to ultimately regret giving him that contract, or is it going to be one that they're happy to give?
No, let me put it this way. As long as they have Derrick Henry and he doesn't break down physically, it'll work out well, because the reason why Ryan Tannehill played very well is they limited his pass attempts per game. They're going to want him somewhere around 30 or fewer. And then obviously and that's only going to happen when they're running the ball well. This is it's kind of funny. People kind of make fun of the Titans. Like, it's like a prehistoric offense. Like, this is not today's offense, but guess what? It works. Coaches will tell you, we go with what works. We have the best power back in the National Football League. He's a pretty damn good player. Derrick Henry, you got to give him credit. He turned his career around. It looked like he was going to be a bust. And then it 2 years ago, the light went on, and he's been great ever since. And I know the Titans talking to them about Arthur Smith. He did a tremendous job once he kind of figured it out with Henry and how are they going to win. I think it's the perfect storm. You know, they make the trade for Tannehill. They bring him in as a backup. Mariota was hurt last season. It wasn't working. They went to Tannehill. He played well. Their defense hung in there, and they had the run game. That, by the way, is the formula. Run it, have few attempts, and win. That's kind of the way they're going to do it. Though I know this, the Titans now having Arthur Smith now back for his second full season, they're going to open it up just a little bit. I think they want to be a little bit more aggressive. And I will tell you, one other note, talking to the Titans, that they felt they really missed Adam Humphries, their slot receiver. His high ankle sprain really limited him, obviously, when he came back. And getting him back healthy, getting a true slot receiver, they really believe that's going to help their passing game.
Adam, you brought up Arthur Smith, and he's an interesting name within that Titans offense because it felt like Tannehill and Derrick Henry got all the credit last year, deservedly so, but Arthur Smith was really feeling it with Ryan Tannehill and with Derrick Henry, and you almost don't want him to become too good because then the worry becomes, does he become a head coach? But do you think Arthur Smith has that ceiling where if he continues to progress with Tannehill and Henry in his offense, that he could get head coaching looks down the road?
Yeah, he'll need to have another huge season because, you know, Arthur, let's call it like it is. He got off to a slow start. When the Titans were struggling, it was just because they had to kind of figure out, they didn't have their identity down. They didn't have Henry going. Once they got him going, their offensive line kind of hung in there. By the way, do not underestimate Roger Saffold's improvement. You know, he was awful probably the first quarter or so of the season. Second half, he was tremendous. He started to look like the guy they paid big money to. And Nate Davis, but you know, we didn't mention him. He was a big surprise. They were not expecting him to start at right guard, but that you know, he got better as the season went along. And obviously, A.J. Brown, my goodness gracious, what a star he looks like he's going to be. I think it was the perfect storm. And by the way, I don't know if you remember this. I was on your station with Darren McFarland before the season started. I did pick them to win a division. Obviously, they didn't make it. I mean, they didn't win it, but they made the playoffs. I had said that they had the best roster, one of the best rosters in the AFC. I still believe that. But I don't know how sustainable just running the ball all the time is in today's NFL. No one else is really doing it like this. You know, Seattle's tried it. But they've had too many issues going on. You saw against Kansas City. I mean, I know that was an extreme example. You've got to be able to counter a team. When your run game doesn't go well, you got to have something else. But I give Arthur Smith credit. No one, though, is talking about him being a head coach. I've asked. He needs to have another monster season than maybe.
We're talking to Adam Kaplan of SiriusXM. And speaking of the AFC, and we kind of threw this question out to Jeremy Fowler earlier this week, where we kind of, the top tier to me in the AFC is the Ravens and Chiefs. And then correct, you kind of have to focus on who's the three, who's four, who's five, who's six. And when I look at it, there's at least six other teams who can possibly compete for that 3-4 spot. Maybe the Browns and Broncos, or maybe we're too much on the hype train a little bit with those two teams, but at least Bills, Titans, Colts, and the Texans, and obviously you got the veterans and the Patriots and the Steelers. I just think by looking at this AFC, the conference as a whole, I just see a lot of potential who can get that number 3 or 4 team.
Yeah, I think it's clearly a two-horse race. I think it's the Chiefs and Ravens. That's really the way the league sees it from talking to coaches and executives this offseason. Look, with Brady now no longer in New England, the Bills are clearly the favorite for the AFC East for the first time in over 20 years, which is kind of crazy, but that's really what it is. And with Houston's kind of, they've undergone some changes here. They, to me right now, I think Houston's right up there, but the problem is the trade of DeAndre Hopkins, losing arguably the NFL's best receiver, I think that's a real problem for them. So I think the third, 3, 4, 5, and 6 spots, let's face it, they're wide open. I know talk of the Raiders are super excited about their offense. I actually wrote about that for my website, InsideTheBirds.com, a couple weeks ago. You know, the Browns, I was with them for 2 days, and I call this correctly. The hype was unfounded. One thing that I've learned of covering this league for 21 years, you cannot just bring in talent. That doesn't help you win. You need talent, but you need guys who get it, and you need a coaching staff that gets it. They made a major mistake last year of promoting their offensive coordinator to head coach, and he wasn't ready for Freddie Kitchens. He's not a head coach. That was one of the many mistakes John Dorsey, their former GM, made, and that cost him his job. Kevin Stefanski, you know, is their coach now. I expect them to kind of slow the hype train down. It was unbelievable last year. It was way too much, and I think they learned a lesson. But you're right. I think it's wide open. To summarize this, I think after the top two, which we clearly outlined, it's wide open. It's really up there for grabs.
Yeah, and some of these teams are also in the bidding for Jamal Adams, who obviously wants to request a trade. What were your thoughts on that, seeing that? And do you see him possibly getting traded from the Jets?
Yeah, so talking to Jets privately, I could share some stuff, folks. They don't want to trade him. I know this personnel staff and coach staff inherited Jamal Adams. They were not there when he was drafted. They know how much he means to they told me he's the best strong safety in football. They believe that. They know he's a leader. They know he's been terrific. I mean, he's one of the best players at his position in the league, if not the best. But he's got to be realistic with his demands for a contract. But according to Adams, you know, in social media, he made it very, very clear that they've not even made an offer yet. Now, talking to the Jets, they did say they were going to address his contract this offseason, but they didn't define what that means. Would they make him an offer? Would they sit him down? And obviously, you can't get him in your building until training camp. The only way that I see them trading him is if they believe that he won't be with them. If he decides that not only would not report to training camp, that he won't be there in the fall or something like that, where it's extreme, then that changes the narrative. Then that changes it. Now, talking to the Raiders a couple years ago when they decided to trade Khalil Mack, I must have talked to them 10 times in that offseason, and every time they said, we're not trading him. Well, here's what happened. When John Gruden felt that he was not going to show up in the fall, though it was unfounded, Mack would have shown up, but he just thought that Mack didn't want to play for them, and he was wrong. Now they wind up getting they got a pretty good bounty for Khalil Mack, but Khalil Mack's probably going to be Hall of Famer, and you don't trade Hall of Fame pass rushers, and that's kind of what they found out. But you know, Jamal Adams is a terrific player. We're only in June here. There's no urgency. You know, they've not put him on the trade block, and Adams could tell people, here are the teams that I'd like to go to. That'll matter if they're actually trying to trade him. Right now they're not. But the fact, and it's funny, the list that my former partner at ESPN, Adam Schefter, put out was interesting. They're all good football teams. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and speaking of this, there was more news coming out yesterday of the NFL. Josh Gordon applying for his reinstatement to the league. And I just want to ask you this. And in 2020, this season coming up, Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown, both or neither? Do you see these guys playing?
I don't see Brown playing unless, I'm going to put an asterisk, I did the same thing last year. First of all, things have changed here because of his off-the-field history, which is significant. The league has to decide whether he's going to be, if a team wants to sign him, whether he's going to be suspended or not. Most people think he's going to get suspended for a bunch of off-the-field challenges, but we won't know that until we get an idea of where their investigations are. He's under the personal conduct policy, and remember, because of the shutdown, the league can't really do their investigations in person. So that's a problem. As far as Gordon, now, that will go to the commissioner. The crazy thing about Josh Gordon is I was at his first ever practice in 2012 with the Browns, and he is an incredibly gifted player. But what a lot of people don't know is that Josh has had some – it's not just the substance abuse problems. It's his issues with anxiety and self-medication and stuff like that. He's also had some challenges with his family, and he just has had trouble overcoming it. And, you know, we know he's been suspended so many times, you just wonder. He's not a bad person. He's actually a kid that's very sensitive. I've covered him pretty closely and extensively over the years. In fact, another quick story is I talked to a coach when this coach was with the Browns. His main job was to pick up Josh Gordon every morning to make sure he got to practice on time. Just to give you an idea of the challenges. So, the Seahawks have not ruled out signing him if he gets reinstated. But that's clearly up to the clinicians that have worked with Josh and the commissioner. And with the way that it works is Roger Goodell will talk to them and figure out where he's at on his sobriety and everything else.
Adam Kaplan covers the NFL for SiriusXM. Adam, thank you so much for joining us as always, and hopefully you don't see a video of me dancing on Twitter later today.
I actually need to see that. Thank you very much. Guys, and please tweet that.
And as I look on Twitter, my fiance just tweeted it. So
nice. I'll try to find that.
Oh, boy. Thank you. All right, Adam, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
Adam Kaplan of SiriusXM. She's tweeted the video.
Yes,
so
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, we're gonna have to watch it
this
during the next
timeout. Is a victory.
Staying on the NFL and not focusing on this video on Twitter, Jamal Adams, for you, Marquise, you brought it up with Adam. He wants to go to 7 different contenders. You know,
pretty much.
Obviously, if you play for the New York Jets long enough, you want to go somewhere where you're actually going to win and have a chance, unlike where a lot of careers go die.
Yeah, not a lot of people request to get traded. Teams like the Jaguars.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure
that's usually not one on anyone's list.
You're requesting out of Jacksonville, not to Jacksonville.
Yeah, like Yannick Ngakoue is the blueprint.
I'm pretty sure like there's an IT like technical person that works at a small company that wants to go to Apple. Like it's just that's just the thing that it is. But I look at this and like, I understand players get into situations and contracts to where, you know, they want to get out of them. They want to earn more money because they felt like, and look, when you look at Jamal Adams, he's definitely earned that money. He's led his team in tackles. He's been a two-time Pro Bowler. He's been an all-first team pro and second team as well. Like, yeah, he's productive and he's been in doing that. And obviously he wants more money because of that. However, he's in a contract for two more years and he's stuck for 2 years and they control whether or not they can play you or whether or not you're on their team or not for two more years. And like, it's unfortunate. That's just what athletes go through in every sport. You see it when the NBA as well, when these players are drafted in the first round, they sign these 4 year deals, but the other 2 years are options. So you're basically stuck with a team for 4 years. And that's just the way it is. And it's unfortunate. I know he wants more money, but just play your 2 years out and then you'll be a free agent and then you can be free. Or maybe when you go into the last year of your contract, they may let you go because they can use you as assets to get something else because they don't want to lose you in free agency for nothing. So I think just play out this season and then next year when you're in that final year of your deal, then all of a sudden, then you can talk about these trade requests.
Do you, if you're the Jets though, and you know he's disgruntled, do you keep him through this season and then trade him before you lose him for nothing, knowing that you're not going to get him back when he hits free agency? You at least get something for him. You know, you don't just trade him away for nothing, but at the same time, get something.
Yeah, I think he'll play this season. He'll play the 2020 season with the Jets.
Kind of like Jalen Ramsey in his last season with the Jags?
Exactly. He will do exactly that. He will play his last year for the Jets this season. Now, if he's happy, if this year is a success for them, Sam Darnold stays healthy, that offense looks good, that defense is, you know, on point, Quinnen Williams hopefully is back and healthy and ready to go, and that defense, and they're of the crisp of playoff hopes. And if that happens and he wants to stay, that's fine. But if he wants to, if he's on the final year of his deal and he's like, "Hey, I'm out of here. I'm still going to leave regardless," you know, then you think about that. Then you look at the Texans, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Cowboys, Seahawks, 49ers, and Eagles, and then you start asking for their bids. I'm pretty sure they're going to ask for some couple first round picks for him, maybe two, but then you make those discussions. But right now, that discussion is not going to be had because, look, they're not going to be willing to trade you because you're their best player on defense, probably their best player on the team in general, and they're not going to trade you. And so you just got to stick it out until this year's over.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, just play like. And I don't want him to be like, "Look, I'm going to sit out this year." Don't do that. I don't like when players do that. Just play. Like, this is basically an audition for you. If you want to leave, that's fine. You like leave, but make sure you play, because if you play, that's an audition for you. You're going to be showing other teams like, "Hey, I deserve this much money when I do hit the market." So that's why he should just play a season out and then continue to put up the numbers that he does. And then when he's ready to be available, he'll be available.
And when Le'Veon Bell set out the season for the Steelers, you can tell in his first season with the Jets, he's just not the same.
He's not the same Le'Veon Bell.
Because he missed that full season.
Exactly.
Le'Veon Bell was a dynamic player for the Steelers, and they sat out a year, and now he's just okay.
Like, that always, like, bothered me of, like, why are you going to sit out? Like, what is the point of that? You're not hurting them, because guess what? They already know you're leaving, so at this point, they don't even care.
Right.
So you're only hurting yourself because you're sitting out for a full year, not in football game shape, and then all of a sudden you're going to come back after a year, and then you're not going to be the same player, and then they're going to feel like you're not worth it at that point. So it's just better to just play your season out and see what happens. If they still want to trade you after that, then so be it.
A couple sports-related COVID developments out of the state of Florida. I briefly mentioned this with Adam Kaplan just a few minutes ago, but the Tampa Bay Lightning are a team that has had to shut down their facility due to three positive player COVID tests here recently. A few players outside the state were told not to report for Phase 2, which started, I believe, the beginning of last week. Due to this fluid situation, this all according to The Athletic. TSN's Bob McKenzie put out a tweet earlier as well, saying that this is This is all fluid, and it's hopefully not going to rear its ugly head, but also the Philadelphia Phillies have had to shut down their facility as well. And the Phillies facilities in Clearwater, the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa, those two spots are about 20 minutes from each other. So I hope the state of Florida did not reopen way too soon, and now COVID rears its ugly head in Florida. I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case, especially with the NBA possibly being in Orlando and MLS being in Orlando. So you're basically two sports. You're basically ruining at that point.
Hopefully we don't come back to the let's put everyone in North Dakota. Remember that thought with the NHL or New Hampshire?
What's wrong with North Dakota? I've never been to North Dakota.
North Dakota, but it just would add to the weirdness of the situation if you're having the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs finish out in North Dakota and not in a big hub city like Vegas or Orlando.
I mean, if it's the safest place, I guess that's what we're going to have to do. I don't think, like, I'm not going to be watching an NBA game, like, deep down, I'm going to know it's in North Dakota, but I'm not going to be like, while they're dribbling on the court, be like, ugh, they're in North Dakota. I don't like this game. I'm going to turn it. Like, it's still going to be basketball, but I think the bubble that they have in Orlando is perfect. Same thing for MLS. They have a perfect plan set in place for both leagues. And this is why people need to just stay out of Florida. Like, I know they're wide open and they're just allowing people on their beaches and all that. But if you want sports back, just stay out of Florida. Stay in your state and let's just wait for all this stuff to pass. Let the NBA players go over there.
Coming up next, we will finally be joined by David Weathers, a former Major League Baseball reliever. We will get the former player's perspective on everything going on in the sport of baseball. Coming up next, you're listening to Darren Donick Norchase on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.